Hello, everybody. This is the post-game show. Hope you had a good week of listening. We enjoyed doing the show this week. For the fans of the show, Juju Gotti is going to be taking over our social media this weekend, so make sure to follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Lebatard Show. It's always a hit with our fans whenever
through,
Juju Gotti.
Through Monday. He's going to be doing it all
through
weekend.
Tuesday, actually. Tuesday, yeah. I want Juju at the helm during a Greg Cody Tuesday. See what he does with our social media. So an extended run here for Juju Gotti. I want to talk to you about Feel Good TV, because I think part of Schitt's Creek, right?
Yes.
Part of its appeal was that it was light. It was Feel Good TV for the most part.
Smart, too, though.
It was smart. Something that we haven't really seen since Parks and Rec and The Office. A light joy to watch. And given the times, you would think that that would be something that you see more of. Ted Lasso did this for me. It's at the highly inconvenient platform of Apple TV. Now, a lot of people have that. But Ted Lasso should not be good by any stretch of the imagination, because it was based off a character that NBC trotted out for a couple of weeks during a marketing plan to introduce the Premier League to American audiences. This was like 5 years ago.
That rarely works, right? When you take the cavemen from the Geico commercial and you make them a sitcom, it usually doesn't work, one of these crappy characters that is just a marketing campaign.
I'm not certain it's ever worked.
I don't think this show is made for Sugats. Let me say that. Well, maybe it might be, because the whole concept of, if you're unfamiliar with the character of Ted Lasso, it's played by Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live. He plays an American football coach that is just hired by a Premier League soccer team.
But also, correct me if I'm wrong, because I only saw portions of the first episode and I want to watch this show. Is he, because what I got the impression is, he seems lovably naive as a character, like kind of pure. I don't know the character, so I'm tuning in and I don't know what I'm getting.
He's super pure, super kind-hearted. His whole thing is, I don't know the game, but I'm going to get people invested in me and get them to buy into what I'm saying. So it's a show, surprisingly, with a lot of heart, given the premise and how this was born out of a marketing campaign. I absolutely love it. Schitt's Creek didn't really connect with me. I know I'm the target audience because I like soccer, but this is a great show and certainly worth your time. And it's just a relief, given everything that's going on in society now, to be able to put on a half hour of TV, not think too much, laugh pretty much the entire way, and feel good about it. Feel invested because, oh, this is a good person I'm rooting for.
Well, help me understand something here, because it seems like your viewing habits are a little bit different than mine, because that's not usually where a television show will take me emotionally. I'm always watching television shows, marveling at the structure of how they create what it is they create. So when I'm watching Schitt's Creek, I'm like, man, these are great comedic actors, but I'm also watching, and it's not joyful. I'm like, man, this writing is so smart, and they're doing such a good combination of smart and dumb with their writing. But when I watch Modern Family and what Mike's talking about in terms of joy to watch, I'm not watching it just to be taken away. I'm marveling at the structure of the creativity.
Right. You think too much when you're watching television. I'm just marveling at the entertainment. Like, I've had similar feelings watching TV shows. Like, Mike's talking about rooting for a good guy, a good character, a good person. I had the same feeling watching 24. I did.
Jack Bauer represented everything that was good about America and doing your country right. I get it. But even with Schitt's Creek, and I've only seen a handful of episodes, I'm sure the characters turn around outside of the first early episodes, but there are no redeemable qualities in those characters off the beginning. They're bad people stuck in a bad situation, and you grow to love them. Right off the bat, you're supposed to love Ted Lasso. He is lovable to you, and you're rooting for him to win over, like, all the terrible people.
But when you're when you're sitting here pairing it against Schitt's Creek, and Schitt's Creek was the object of all of Hollywood's love in terms of how it made people feel, is Ted Lasso written smart that way?
Like, it is brilliantly written, and I don't say that just because the writer thanked me for complimenting it. Also, Jason Sudeikis liked my tweet. No tweets on his timeline. He just creeps it out looking for compliments. I like you, Jason Sudeikis. It is very well written. Does it help to know something about soccer and the things that he's laughing at? Yes, but there is enough there for people that are soccer agnostic and are just like American sports fans, because Ted Lasso sort of speaks to who you are. So I think Sugats would like it a lot, actually.
How about you guys? Have any of you seen what it is that we're talking about? Because I saw that Steve Kerr was endorsing this show with the highest recommendation, and people keep getting surprised by it. One of the things we told you about during the pandemic is how smart and good the show Dave was with the rapper Lil Dicky. I have not gotten into this show yet, but there are a number of different people whose judgment I find discerning who are recommending this show. Have you guys heard anything about this show?
I wasn't able to watch it yet because I don't have Apple TV, but I know the creator, Bill Lawrence. He created Scrubs and Spin City, and I kind of trust what he does. So that would automatically get me into watching the show.
Roy, I know you're a big Scrubs guy. Zach Braff actually directs episode 2 of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, he was talking about how he directed the episode on his podcast, Fake Doctors, Real Friends, and they had to create an apparatus where they had to move the camera on the field and not damage the turf. And it was pretty ingenious what they had to do. So, yeah, I really would like to watch the show.
I'm going to watch it, too. I haven't watched it yet. My dad also has been raving about that show. He's a soccer guy, but I love Sudeikis, so I'm definitely going to watch it.
Well, your dad raving about it has me thinking now.
Well, no, he doesn't. Like, he actually is pretty, like, he's critical of TV. He doesn't love a lot of shows.
He has a pretty discerning eye, and I'm sure he appreciates the throwback nature when every show was sort of built around, oh, I like all these people. This is light.
Isn't Sudeikis a famous ladies man?
Like, I think he's married to Olivia Wilde.
But also after dating prodigiously because he's got this spiritual soft side that women like.
He'd be photographed. He's an insanely likable guy from his time on SNL. He seems really funny. The character, he writes every episode. He's a producer of every episode. Obviously, him and Bill Lawrence have everything to do with what goes out there. It seems as though this was a passion project that they tried to make for several years since they trotted out the character 4 years ago. There's a great YouTube. I would say watch it, but not really because they kind of rehash or reheat some of the jokes in the promo video that they did from 5 years ago where you get a great idea of the character. It sort of feels like they've been championing this character for 5 years and they finally landed on Apple TV, who's just like, yeah, we'll give you money, do whatever. And I'm happy they found that kind of place for it because I'm not sure it exists anywhere else. And it's already been approved for season 2 and 3. They just went ahead and fast-tracked season 3. Green light.
So all of my buddies in my group chat have been saying, hey, you got to watch Ted Lasso. You got to watch Ted Lasso. Is anybody experiencing a little bit of burnout when it comes to watching TV? Like, I've got all these great shows that I want to watch, and I'm like, I don't really want to watch it right now.
Well, Tone, help. This is really funny that you mentioned this because we are in like a weirdly changing time, Stugatz, where unfortunately they weren't taping yesterday on Highly Questionable, but right before we go on air, one of the things we've been doing to start Highly Questionable is basically they're private conversations that I then interrupt with the introduction to the show. The people on the show don't know they're on television. Mina was mother bleeping. Who the hell would listen to 3 hours of this, given the podcast and content river and sea that everyone is in? She was mother bleeping like the idea of how can anyone sit through 3 hours of the Lebatard show stuff? And that's where I interrupted her and said, welcome to Highly Questionable, because she didn't know I was listening to her. But what Tony is speaking of is a real thing. So many people have now gotten into the podcast game. Michael Irvin saw that Dion did it. Like, everyone's now, there's so many athlete podcasts out there.
Yep.
So many demands on the podcast listener. That it is a super interesting time in creativity, but I think a lot of people are feeling what Tony's feeling, which is like, man, I can't keep up with all the crap that's being made.
Well, there's too much. You start something, you start a series, you get halfway through the first episode like you did with Schitt's Creek. I mean, there's just stuff. There's so many things that I've started, and I am telling you, Netflix does a tremendous job of making you think every show is the greatest show you ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, you click on the little thing for a preview, and it's a body of water, trees with no leaves, and someone is drowning.
You did that joke yesterday.
We did that in reruns. So is TV.
To what Tony said, though, Tony, I feel you. I'm like the target demo, right, given what I like. And I put this off for months despite people telling me how good it is. It's also hard to find. Apple TV. Certain carriers don't carry Apple by principle, but it's a half hour and it flies. This is the type of show that you'll burn through in a weekend, I promise you.
Okay, I'm gonna check it out too. And I got everybody that doesn't have Apple TV, hit me up. I got a little bit of a site that you can go on. It's not, you know, it doesn't give you computer. I got you guys. It's life changing.
Thank you, Tony.
Can we put that in the podcast?
Stugatz, didn't you win $100 from someone?
What do you mean?
You bet $100 yesterday that Carlton wouldn't be on today.
Oh, yeah. Dan. Where'd he go? Get him back. It was Lebatard, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He never called.
Dan, you owe me $100.
What's the best feel-good TV show of all time, Roy? Come on, Eight is Enough?
Eight is Enough!
That was a good job, man. That was a good job. Tony, that's such a good point by you, by the way.
Dude, it's killing me, man.
There's too much content.
We have to watch sports now, too, right? But then I can't watch a show that's on because I'm watching sports, but then I don't really feel like watching anything.
But I'll never listen to a podcast unless I'm in my car.
Well, Ted Lasso, what happened with me not getting around to Ted Lasso was the NBA playoffs. I don't have time. Right. But now that the playoffs are over.
Right. Yeah, but you got the big game this weekend. 1 o'clock, CBS.
You know how many times the Cleveland Browns have won at Heinz Field since they returned in 1999?
How many?
Keep in mind, they play there every season.
Yeah. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Five.
One.
What?
One.
Mike, you got to push past the first half of season one of Schitt's Creek. It gets like, I was like almost checked out of it, and I stuck with it, and it gets really good, like the second season on.
All right, so I haven't really heard anybody sort of with my take on it, which is it just wasn't for me early on.
I was skeptical early on.
Oh, Mike, that's been my take from the jump. I had this whole argument with Chris and Jeremy Taché that are champions for Schitt's Creek, and I was just like, my wife just finished watching it probably like 2 weeks ago, and I would sit in and watch it, and I get it. It is smart. The comedy is – it just doesn't grab me. I just didn't
– Billy, did it grab you from the start?
No, not from the start. It just didn't matter to me. I don't know. It was weird.
Billy, did it grab you from the start? Because I know you like Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I still have to catch up on the last season because I couldn't, you know, it was on Pop TV, so I was having
difficulty getting
to get
into
that. I know, I need to watch the last season. But it's one of those things where I need to go back and do like a quick refresher of like the previous season, maybe the previous couple episodes, because I binged it months ago. So I need to make sure that I'm caught up so that I enjoy the last season and don't miss any jokes or anything.
Yeah.
Do you like Sudeikis?
I do like Sudeikis. Yeah. I think he's good.
Well, he's just prime Sudeikis here. So if you just think Jason Sudeikis is a likable guy, you'll like Ted Lasso because he just amplifies all the good stuff.
Can I get your guys' opinion on something? Dexter, because they're redoing the ending. So I watched that because so many people told me to watch it, that I would love it. And I did, and I loved it. And then I got to... a little before the last season, it kind of jumped the shark for me. I think it was... maybe the last two seasons. So I never watched it.
Well, it's got a formula to it. And you have to be creative to keep people invested. And it's almost as if it was too popular.
So it's like a do-over? Like they realize?
From what I've read, I think they're catching up with the character after we last saw him and he became a... spoiler alert. If you haven't watched Dexter, because I know people watch shows differently now, he moves to the wilderness and becomes a lumberjack. And keep in mind, like, Deb, his sister, is dead. So a lot of the characters...
Whoa!
Tony, you didn't watch Dexter?
No, man. I bailed after the third season. You told me it sucked.
Well, I told you. Spoiler alert coming here. Wait a second. You didn't...
if you bailed, you can't be mad that you missed the ending.
I know. You bailed on it, dude.
This is pop culture. You didn't know that Dexter just moved away and became a lumberjack?
Nah.
How was that? That felt like it was inescapable. I'm surprised.
I think I knew that, and I never even watched Dexter.
I did have to remind myself that Deb is dead. So I think that they're just going to catch up with the character 8 years. So I think that's how you spin that story into a win. Because I am kind of curious. Okay, what happens to Lumberjack Dexter? Did he cure himself of killing people? Is he in recovery and he needs to kill again? Roy, did you watch Dexter?
No, I did not, no. Not a single episode.
Yeah, I could see.
But now I feel like I have to finish the bad part of it to enjoy the next part of it. You know what I'm saying?
I guess if they're going to just pick up where he's a lumberjack.
Yes.
I'm going to watch it to feel nostalgic, I think. Because I did like that show a lot.
It was very good. The first couple of seasons were excellent.
But it was from a time where you didn't really set out to do a miniseries. And Dexter probably should have been a miniseries. Because if someone goes in with a set idea of the story they want to tell, that's when you get the highest quality TV. Sons of Anarchy, I love. Sons of Anarchy was one of my favorite shows of all time. And then, spoiler alert, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ruin it. But it felt like they had nowhere to go after they told the story they needed to, and it just went on two seasons too long. Do miniseries. Set out, know exactly what your story is, because then you'll end up being like Dexter, and you'll just have to keep getting far-fetched. That's the end of my PSA.
All right, thanks.